Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we've got a wind advisory going starting at 7 this morning, pretty much all day today, and then it's going to be cloudy and windy and rainy with a high in the upper 40s. Right now in Kenosha, it's 48 degrees. In Burlington, it's 49. In Milwaukee, 50 and 49 degrees. In Racine. The Caledonia Village Board decides that the interim village president to take over when Bob Bradley resigns in 2 weeks will serve until the April 2019 election. But who gets the position? That's going to be kind of a mini-election campaign between trustees Jim Dobbs and Kevin Wongard. At last night's board meeting, Dobbs said, "I would be excited to take this challenge."
"I am not a typical politician. I consider myself more of a manager. That's what I've done my whole life. That's why I'm here, trying to get things done through people. I enjoy this village. I enjoy the village work. I've got great experience in management through supervisory prior jobs. I've owned a lot of real estate. I own a private business. I have a lot of things going for me that will help."
Wongard, noting his past experience as the interim village president, also spoke out against the appointment only going till April of next year.
"And I'd love to be president, but I don't believe that it's in the best interest of the village to be president for 5 months and run for election when things could pass us by that people won't even understand have passed us by until after the fact. You know, so it does a disservice to this village, and I can't in good conscience put the village in that position, nor myself, nor the rest of this board."
Trustee Jay Benkowski politely disagreed with the village attorney about the process, urged the appointment only until the spring election for the sake of transparency and open government.
"The optics, the transparency, and the honesty within government is incumbent upon us to make sure that we're representing the highest and best interests of the citizenry of Caledonia. So therefore, anything else resorts to cronyism, where you have an elite board deciding who we're going to pass the mantle on to. So I respect your opinion, it's legal, but the optics are not good, and politically I think it's suicide."
Trustees are going to submit questions for both Wongard and Dobbs and anyone else interested to answer at a special board meeting next Tuesday evening. Whoever gets picked by a board majority will start November 7th and maintain that position until April 2019. Lengthy process of hiring a new administrator in Mount Pleasant has taken a step forward. The village board deciding on an interview process. It's been without a full-time administrator as Mount Pleasant for more than a year. Police Chief Tim Zarzecki taking on those duties in addition to his own. Rob Richardson chairs the Village Community Development Authority, proposed a process he said is similar to one that was used to pick the CDA director. He recommended a panel made up of Claude Lois, now working on the Foxconn development, along with Zarzecki, plus an outside current or retired administrator to be involved in the interview process.
"And the reason I'm adding some of this language is everybody's in budget process. So it's real hard to get people to commit time right now. So maybe we can get a retired individual if we can't get one that's active, and then I would continue to work as a moderator."
He also proposed a similar panel for interviews with candidates for finance director, which includes one to do finance professionals, the board approving both recommendations. It was announced recently that Zeke Jackson, who is one of the candidates for the administrator's position, has taken that job in Waterford. Chief Zarzecki says several applications, meanwhile, have been received for both positions. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee endorses a 3-year labor agreement with the Racine Police Officers Association that includes 1% wage increases January 1st and July 1st of next year and in 2019, plus 1.25% raises those same dates in the year 2020. Mark Olson of the city's hired consulting firm explained some of the changes, including the wellness incentive, light duty expansion, and comp time in this deal.
"We had wanted to revise the language so that if somebody were accessing the wellness program, it would be tied back into the employee handbook so that everybody was consistent in terms of the way that was being applied and the way the benefits would be provided. The last sentence also, we did not want to be paying them for doing the HRA paperwork or any other things that they had to do. So we were able to achieve that."
City Attorney Scott Letney, who is also the chief negotiator, said this contract is good, fair, and competitive.
"I mean, Racine's in a different position than most other similar municipalities. I know you've heard me say this before, but the fact that we're landlocked, you know, we have nowhere to expand. The only way to increase our the city's income is to actually grow up, to develop, puts us in a different position. So it's hard to compare Racine to Kenosha and Janesville and Waukesha and West Allis and all those kind of similar municipalities because of that.
Unlike the last contract and those in the past, the new three-year police union deal does not include a reopener clause, and paychecks would be issued biweekly, joining all other city employees. The Racine PPA overwhelmingly approved the agreement. It needs final approval from the Common Council in about a week or so. The Racine man accused of hitting a bicyclist in Caledonia Friday evening, telling investigators he thought the impact was with a mailbox. 27-year-old Tyler Martinez appearing in Racine County Circuit Court for hit and run resulting in death, arrested after his father called police to report his son had been in the accident. 39-year-old Michael Fussgruber riding his bike with his son on Douglas Avenue near Middle Road Friday evening when he was hit and later died from his injuries. Martinez, according to the court documents, said he was looking down at the radio when the vehicle hit something, told investigators he thought it was a mailbox, even though there are no homes in the area. Said he didn't report the accident because he thought his license was suspended and that his driving record wasn't so good. Investigators say that it seemed he was shocked to learn he had struck and killed somebody. Martinez is going to be back in court on November the 8th. And there was a big accident along the interstate in Racine County yesterday. Just after noon, the truck overturning along the I south of the area by Highway K, it ended up a part of the vehicle over the median wall. Debris scattered across the roadway. It shut things down for quite a while. Travel lanes were all blocked up. A car also involved. The truck driver reportedly hurt. Highway Department had to bring in heavy equipment to clean up what appeared to be dirt from the truck. The last of the community information meetings about the Foxconn project in Mount Pleasant going to be taking place 5 p.m. at Veterans Terrace in Burlington. Like the other two, one in the village and the other in the city of Racine, the format will be an open house style, various officials on hand to answer questions, and informational displays to explain the project. Despite the lack of a signed agreement between the company and the state, the Mount Pleasant Village Board has approved a number of items related to the proposed Foxconn development. Contracts with seven firms involved in appraisals, environmental and site assessments, and relocation services okayed by the board last night to help with the acquisition of property needed for the project. Attorney Alan Markovitz told the trustees that because of the number of parcels involved and the complexity of the process, several firms are also going to have to get involved. He said approving the contracts now means the village will be ready to go when the time comes.
I heard some concern earlier tonight that we would be out in front. We're not getting out in front. We're just getting these contracts approved. We're not going to start spending money under these contracts until we're satisfied that the Foxconn project is really moving ahead. But since that is a day-to-day proposition, and the last time I looked, this board did not meet every day, we're trying to get a little bit in front of it so we're ready to go.
He also noted that under state law, these contracts did not have to go through the competitive bidding process. The board also accepted an offer to sell property in the site designated as Area 3 for future developments. Markovitz added that he expects to get an update on the progress toward finalizing the state's contract with Foxconn at a meeting involving the village, the county, and state officials later today. Democratic Milwaukee State Senator Tim Carpenter is formally requesting to see the Foxconn contract before the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation votes on that historic incentive package to locate the company in Mount Pleasant. Sturtevant Village Board's got a closed-door committee of the whole session up at 6 o'clock tonight. That agenda says it's a discussion and consideration of filling the position of property and grounds inspector, for which a decision could be announced in open session. The Sturtevant Continual Committee meetings then follow the Committee of the Whole, and among them is the Finance and Budgetary Panel and consideration of the future of bus service in the village as it relates to the 2018 proposed budget. And a due process hearing is scheduled for 5:30 this evening at Racine City Hall for the owner-operator of the Riverside Inn Hotel next to the Horlick Dam at Highways 38 and Double M. The Public Safety and Licensing Committee voting against renewing the establishment's liquor license, and by right, Sam Naimi asked for the due process hearing. That quasi-judicial procedure, barring any last-minute agreement, calls for testimony of witnesses, legal arguments by the attorneys for both sides, then the committee going into closed session to deliberate. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section of it. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.